This recording, England 32, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, there's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at the superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. They were much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge and checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease. This was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so she made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, there was an itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made the unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice of name. Comma was a strong, huge, so it would take some force to trap her. So Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered the effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Appledore, 31 N Street. I spent a little of my time, very younger time, in a little village called Wesley across the river, only as a crow flies about a mile and a half from here. Then came back to Appledore, and my father was the local publican, took a pub at the bottom of 1 N Street, and where I was brought up. I spent the majority of my childhood on the beach, where all the young kids did in the days, picking crabs, you know, fishing. Anne's dad was very, very good fisherman, the old school fisherman, sailing boat. So as kids, we grew up going out on the boat. All the stay-ins, all the old men would be there, you know. This really was the latter years. I mean, the old men on the quay then were dying away. We're all sailing men, you know, from the long deep sea vessels. And the long tales, we used to sit and listen to them in them days, you know, telling about tales. Half the time, I don't know whether they're true, probably not, but they made us happy at the time, so it didn't really make any difference. When I got to the age of 15, I left and joined the army, where I I went to a place called Purbrack in Hampshire, done my training as a junior leader, and then basically went through 7 years of army training, joining the senior, serving in Norway, Denmark, Germany, Sweden, America, but short period of time. I got married then to a local girl who had the pub at the other end of Avildsen, and we've got three children. We decided then that there was no place for the children to grow up travelling around the world, so we decided that it was only fair that we sort of came back home and give them an education and start again. Once I found when it came back, I must admit, a lot of the characters, my father still owned the pub then, but a lot of the characters had gone and died, and there were very, very few. And this is what I think makes the art of what I call real Devon people, you know, is a dying breed, because people are now taught not to speak as we would speak. I mean, I lost a bit, but I've got perhaps quite a bit of my accent back now by, you know, the fact that I've come back and lived here for so many years.